And welcome to the next episode of Hostile Reconnaissance. This time, we are going to be looking at female MCs. So, hip-hop gets a lot of criticism for being misogynistic, so we thought we'd come off the bat straight away and start having a look at some of the greatest female MCs to have lived and rocked the mic. So, I'm joined by Sunny again. Well, I don't know why I say that. Like, it is both of us. So, yeah, it makes no sense, does it? Welcome, Sonny.
Who's the hostile and who's the reconnaissance?
My eyelids are quite droopy, so I probably best not to be reconnaissance.
Okay. You can be hostile, I'll be reconnaissance.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably right. Okay. Yeah. So, how are you feeling about this one? How are you feeling about. Well, female MCs.
So we thought we'd come up with our top 10 of female MCs and order them. And it seemed like a good question to ask. And then I sat down with my pen and paper and I realized it's actually a really quite a dull one because the number one is, for me, I think, and for most hip hop heads, even non hip hop heads, it's quite obvious who the number one will be by quite a country mile. And then it's just a case of the rest fighting for scraps almost compared to this person.
I would say, I mean, I think I know who your number one is, but I would say there's probably one other challenger to that. And I'm going to try, I'm not on purpose, but I might throw a spanner in the works later just to be a little bit hostile. Yeah. but yeah, I've got a, yeah. I think it's not quite as close as sorry, it's not quite as clear cut as you'd think, but I think the top two are far and away, way above everyone else. We might as well say who it is.
Yeah,
I'm going to say.
Split it. Yeah,
I'm going to say you're going to say it's Lauryn Hill, aren't you?
Of course it is. It's a competition. Yeah.
And I would say that the other person who is kind of up there pushing is Missy Misdemeanor.
Yeah, I mean, you'd say that as a rapper, she doesn't stylistically and as an artist, and she recently got given an honorary doctorate from someone as well, didn't she? She's an incredible artist, a visionary, in fact. She's not as groundbreaking without Timbaland's beats or Hype Williams's visions, but a visionary every kind of directorial style. But she's a trailblazer in hip hop. She's important in hip hop, but as an MC, as a rapper, as everything else, Lauryn Hill as a writer, she's so good that she comes under a lot of rappers' top five all time rappers. You know, male or female, she's that good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would suggest. Possibly, and this is the big kind of question. Is she really a rapper?
Yes, you've heard.
Or is she a singer who sometimes raps?
She can do both.
Can she do, like, is she on, just as a rapper, is she, you know, that good that she sort of stands head and shoulders above everybody else?
Absolutely. It's like Mos Def. Mos Def can acts, you know, he does comedy, he does singing badly, and he raps, right? Lauryn Hill has got enough bars under her belt to be qualified as an A-list rapper, in my opinion. Two Fugees albums, Unplugged album, Education. Yeah. she's up to the beast, and she can sing for good measure. She's that good.
Well, she's a fantastic singer, isn't she? She's an absolutely brilliant singer. Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with you. I'm just being a little bit contentious.
Yeah,
but,
you got to
you know.
Be. Yeah, you got to be. I mean, I just don't see how we can look past. That's why I was doing this. I was like, this is just boring because Lauryn Hill's number one. It's not like coming up with the Wu top nine order. So this one, we work backwards, I think. Yeah, Missy's definitely my number two as well. I can't see past that.
My only criticism or the only thing that I think holds me back by declaring Lauryn Hill the greatest of all time is the fact that we can ignore the first Fugees album, as I think everybody else has done in history.
I like it.
Yes. But the thing is, I think the problem is the score is such a huge album that everything else pales into insignificance.
Yeah.
But she shared that album with Praz and Wyclef.
Yeah.
And she didn't have a huge number of bars on it.
Yeah.
And she did, you know, she did most of the hooks and she did most of the kind of the singing parts.
Yeah.
And then Miseducation of Lauryn Hill is a fan, you know, again, another absolutely stellar album.
Yeah.
But again, it's has she spent enough time as a rapper, not a talent, I mean, but has she actually produced enough content for us to kind of have her so highly decorated?
I think when it's that seminal, when it's that good, it's not about quantity, it's about the quality. And that album still stands up 20 years. I saw her perform it in Birmingham for my sins a couple of years ago. It was worth going to Birmingham. I don't really go to Birmingham if I can avoid it. But she made it worth it on a Wednesday night of all bloody nights. I drove from Lincoln.
On a school night as well.
I took afternoon and morning off work, would you believe it? She was, and you know, it was like 70 quid for the ticket. And you're like, you just don't know what you're going to get with her. And she was outstanding. When you talk about the content, the quantity of content, what she's done is she's managed to, you can see them online as well, she's reworked that album, those songs, with the kind of the visuals behind her and the band setup. And she kind of freestyles those songs. They're almost like original compositions on the stage. Whilst there are the lyrics there, she'll go off. It's basically jazz-like. And she's eked out a lot. Eked out is probably a bit derogatory, but she's managed to rework in jazz-like fashion that one album, so that it's actually more than just one album. It's actually a number of albums. You know, it was unbelievable. She live as well. She was incredible. You know, rapping, singing, you name it, spoken word. She's a beast. As Wycliffe once described it, she's a beast.
But you know, there's got to be some frustration that we've been waiting for. Well, it must be over 20 years now, mustn't it? Since Miss Education.
Yeah, there's never been waiting. Yeah, I don't think there will be. To be honest, I don't think there ever will be.
Yeah, it is a huge frustration when you've got someone so talented and you just don't kind of get what you want out of them. But it's their choice, I guess, isn't it?
Oh, that's, you know, she's a diva. You know, she's an artist.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about, you know, you mentioned Mos Def, and he's the same, isn't he? You know, we had the Black Star album is one of the greatest albums ever made, and I will fight anyone who argues. and nothing since, although they claim there is one coming. But it's in the hands of the lawyers, a Mad Lib album. But anyway, we're not talking about men. We're talking about women. So we've got Lauryn Hill. Yeah, I think hands down, she's transcended hip hop, not just as a female, but I just think, you know, she's one of those true stellar stars. I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I agree with you as well. Missy is a huge talent, and it's bringing all those different aspects of the art together, isn't it?
She's not a great rapper. Like, you listen to her bars, they're not like particularly that great. She doesn't have I'm not going to go so far as to say that, you know, Nicki Minaj, I'd say, is actually a better rapper in terms of being able to do personas and lyrical wordplay and stuff. But Missy is more than a rapper. She's a performer. She's a visionary. You know, she's an artist. Her live performances are second to none. Her creativity is outstanding. She's made her mark in hip hop history. And I think, you know, again, big props have to go to Timbaland, because without Timbaland, those classic beats, I mean, year after year, what she's got, right? And when I was going through this list, I don't know if you found the same, but a lot of female women rappers, they don't have when you talk about Lauryn Hill not having a lot of albums, a lot of these women don't have a great album. Like, they have hit singles or hooks here and there, but I don't see a lot of them having great albums. And Missy Elliott can claim that the first couple of albums, you know, it's Super Duper Fly and The Real World, were good albums.
Yeah, I think So Addictive's a good album as well, isn't it? That was her third album.
She's solid. She's consistent, isn't she?
Yeah, she got quite a few sort of like chart hits as well. And I mean, shouldn't necessarily be a gauge of quality, but you know, or like, you know, club hits. Yeah. So she's kind of she kind of broke into broke beyond hip hop, didn't she, into kind of other kind of genres and into kind of popular music, but with talent, I think.
She's the artist played in those kind of like sorority or fraternity type films. You know, the Mean Girls film, they have Past That Dutch Brain and stuff like that. So she's the one that Get Your Freak On and 40-Year-Old Virgin. She gets used in all these kind of like middle America, white American films. She's the hip-hop artist that they choose to incorporate. because but that's more to do with Timbaland, I'd say, with his kind of like friendly beats.
Yeah, no, I don't think you can separate the two, can you? But you know, in the same way, you know, Fife and Q-Tip always come together, or Eric B and Rakim, you kind of, or Pete Rock and CL Smith, you kind of almost think of them together rather than as independent, even though they've each done their own kind of independent stuff. I think with Missy and with Timbaland, they're so intertwined. It's the same sort of act, isn't it, almost?
Absolutely. No, she's fantastic. From 96 to 2004, the last album I bought of hers was the one with Pass That Dutch. I think that was 2004. I remember it's called as like an album cover, like a kind of like building site or something. But again, that was a good album. She's solid. She was like, for me, I don't know how you saw, I saw her as almost like the female version of Busta Rhymes, you know, kind of outlandish cartoon and same kind of generation. But one thing she had over Busta, and we complained about this about Busta a few weeks ago, I think, I don't know if it was on the podcast or elsewhere, but he hasn't got like a great album, but no. Missy has got good albums.
No, definitely agree. Yeah, Missy, I'll tell you what I do especially like about her is that when you're thinking of like the late 90s and some of her, some of the other kind of female MCs who were around at the time, and they went for that kind of hyper-sexualized, you know, skin out kind of thing. Yeah. She twisted that and flipped it on its head and still had her sexuality kind of on. I mean, this seems so wrong, two guys talking about how women kind of portray themselves in the media. But the fact that she kind of being of a... I've got to tread really carefully here, haven't I? But, you know, she didn't take that kind of really easy route of showing lots of skin, but she still maintained that sexuality throughout kind of her work, and especially the videos that she did with Hype Williams. I think that also stands out as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was playful. The tone was always... I mean, again, Hype Williams, he's a connection, but, you know, I forgot there, you know, shockingly, that he's the one who directed all those Busta videos in that era as well. And Busta wasn't hyper-masculine or kind of crazy. Busta was cartoonish. He wasn't scary. You know, he's putting his nostrils in front of the camera. He's got all these weird kind of, like, you know, inverted kind of angles and stuff. And Missy Elliott was the same, right? She was cartoonish. She was playful. There was certainly a sexuality was there, but it wasn't at the expense of everything else that was taking place. She's a performer, right? She had range. She had ideas. You know, she wasn't afraid to. I'm talking about like she's passed, you know, but she isn't afraid to take risks and to take chances. And yeah, I mean, like, wasn't she the chorus on, was it her own song, the Ludacris song, 1 Minute Man, you know?
1 Minute Man, yeah.
Yeah, so that's clearly, obviously, you know, a sexual song. But again, it's playful, isn't it? It's not hypersexual, is it? It's not hypersexual.
I guess the way I'd kind of conclude it is that she was able to be overtly sexual because she was in that position, rather than some of the others who got into that position because they were overtly sexual.
Yeah, like Cardi B or someone with a story with her and then just rhyme some words and then makes a career out of that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if I was beautiful, I would probably do the same. So so okay, so we've got to kind of like nailed in our, we say top 10, we're just gonna have a list, aren't we?
That's one and two, that's easy. Who's like, we're talking about, looking at my list here, I'm sure we've got a lot of similar names, but like in terms of like a rapper, we could easily do a top five, I reckon, here, and the rest would be lots of honorable mentions.
Yeah.
Eve's got albums. Let there be Eve. Eve's got bars as well, man. Eve could fucking spit. First Lady of the Rough Riders, that was a tagline, wasn't it? So like, she must be hard. And then she's got two tattoos. And I remember she appeared in this really family-friendly sitcom and then just killed the image. But anyway.
Yeah. Oh, she was my teenage crush.
Yeah,
was Eve.
You mentioned it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. Anyway. Eve can rap, yeah. And she held her own amongst like her peers, I think. So like a lot of the people on the list that we kind of, the long list, tend not to kind of do a huge amount of collaborative work. Mm. Or be like with one guest. She was quite happily sit on a posse cut and, you know, drop some bars and, you know, the association with the Rough Riders. She was signed with Dr. Dre, wasn't she?
Yeah, that, he did the beat, that amazing beat, didn't he, with what's it, Gwen Stefani, let me blow your mind, that incredible
yeah.
beat. Yeah, I mean, Eve's class, man. Eve had I remember that first album, I had it on repeat, man, with Edison, some sort of joint cuts with Dragon and all these kind of Rough Rider, B-grade yeah. rappers. But she was just a beast, man. I rate Eve. Still, looking at the list, I was like, in terms of, when you look at who's got albums, who's got an album that you would listen to, Eve's up there, man.
Yeah, I'd agree. She's got to be up there somewhere, isn't she?
Mm, definitely top five. Definitely top five.
Okay, so we've got Lauren, obviously, we've got Missy, and we've got Eve.
You give me one.
I'm going to go a little bit different.
Mm.
I'm going to go a little bit older.
Mm.
And, you know, you think of that kind of first wave of female MCs mm-hmm. who came through.
Mm-hmm.
So like Sha Rock, who was in Funky 4+1,
mm-hmm.
Queen Latifah, again, amazing. She's probably going to be close. But I'm going to say Salt-N-Pepa.
Nice.
And so I get 2-for-1 that way.
Nice.
As well.
Again, not great rappers, but they had a moment, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And I think, you know, they were the first ones to kind of really make a breakthrough as well. You know, Push It was just a huge hit. The stuff that they did with En Vogue as well.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was at the time, it was, they were really important to have yes. that voice. And I think the biggest effect, or the most, I don't know what's the best word for it, but their greatest effect was the fact that I think they probably encouraged a lot of female and future female MCs to actually try, because they were visible, and they weren't bad.
They were like the female with Run DMC, weren't they? They were the kind of answer to Run DMC. They had the two of them, and they had DJ Spinderella, which is a great
Spinderella,
song.
Yeah.
So they were the female answer to, it felt like at least, to Run DMC, that mid-80s vibe. Nah, Salt-N-Pepa are cool, man. Nothing but respect for Salt-N-Pepa. Again, I wouldn't really sit down and work through an album of this. But just like I wouldn't really, and again, this is going to sound like, you know, hari-kari, but I wouldn't really sit down and listen to Run DMC album either, because it's of its time and it doesn't really do it for me personally.
Well, I mean, some things don't age, do they? You know, we talked about Lauren's albums. Oh. Well, The Score and Miseducation, especially, you know, they just don't age. You can put them on in 50 years' time and people will still be like,
agreed,
this is amazing.
Agreed.
I think, you know, when we're talking about some of these other ones, it just doesn't age particularly well.
Yeah,
you could say that
about Eve's music. Eve's music, could you believe that album's like 20 years old, not her debut album? That makes you feel old, right? I remember listening to that at college. I feel old now.
Yeah.
But I mean, that has just fucking Swiss Beats doing Swiss Beats. That's all he does, right? Is that sound, of, you know, scratch on the deck. But yeah, I mean, Salt-N-Pepa, dude, you still rock them at a party and they sound great, man.
Oh, you put Push It on and everybody's going to get it up, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's a great track. I mean, and they had other tracks, didn't they? They had Let's Talk About Sex.
Yeah, yeah. My mom played that in the car. Got naughty.
Yeah.
There was the What a Man, and there was that Giddy Up. I remember watching the Giddy Up video and feeling things, not knowing what was going on in my body, but I felt things. It must have been that bull they were on, the roadie. It must have been that got me going. Anyway.
Yeah, you're thinking about the chafing, weren't you? It's like, that can't be. Yeah, that can't be particularly comfortable.
That's what was going on.
Yeah, they have Shoop as well.
Yeah, Shoop.
Shoop. Yeah. I mean, the guy who does the rap on Shoop has got to have some balls, hasn't he? Is that it's on that track? I think.
What did he say? Remind me.
It's just, I think. Or was it on What a Man that he? There's one of their later songs. It's one of the on the, and there's a guy, I think they've had it remixed with a different artist, but yeah, I can't remember the lyrics, but it's just, you know, you being I'll look up the lyrics and I'll see, but yeah, it's you just think I just don't have the self confidence to be able to even begin to have that conversation in public, let alone, you know, drop some bars on her.
Yeah, fair play, Salt and Pepper, gotta be out there. Honorable mention, shout this
one. Yeah, I think so.
Shall I get back at you with one?
Yeah, go on.
Heather B, man. Heather B. Heather B.
Okay.
This album, that is a great fucking album. It's been so heavily sampled. I discovered it through its samples. But Heather B, she was back in the day, but she had this one album. It's called, what the fuck was it called? It was called Taking Mine, I believe. Yes, Taking Mine in 96. Fucking great album. There's an opening track called If Heads Only Knew, and that's been sampled so much. She's a hard rapper, man. She's like, yeah. She's associated with KRS and stuff, which isn't surprising because she is like the female. Again, we're doing this in kind of lazy or crude analogy, like kind of comparisons, because we're using the male world as the frame of reference, as because obviously it is in many ways. She is like the female KRS, basically, the way she spits that boom bap production. That album is fucking awesome. He made two albums again, but that first album, dude, Taking Mine, if you haven't heard it or heard it recently, I advise you to go back to it because it still stands up strong because it's just a good boom bap album.
Yeah, I've not heard that for years.
It's good.
So I definitely need to go back and have a listen.
I'm glad to know that because I hear it sampled so much, I'd like to think that she's still getting paid from it. She still gets her royalties from it because it is a hard fucking album. I don't know who produced it. But yeah, man. Yeah, Boogie Down Productions. Yeah. That's it, man.
Beat Miners? Is it Beat Miners?
Yes, one song done by the Beat Miners, but Kenny Parker. Yeah. Kenny Parker did the majority.
Kenny Parker, yeah.
So that's that kind of sound, you know. It's got M.O.P. on it. M.O.P. of featuring right. on her album. That gives you that note. That tells you everything you need to know about the sound. Yeah.
Well, yeah, 96 M.O.P.
Yeah.
That's coming hard, isn't it?
Dude, it's a hard album, man. I'm telling you. That's one of the albums that, again, I talked about my caveat being, where's the great album? It's only 10 tracks. But listen, man, Illmatic's only 9 tracks, right? You can have a great album with, you know, that many. So, yeah, man. Great album.
You made me listen to, who was it? There was probably 7 tracks.
Push It. No, that was Kanye. Had
yeah, Push It.
7
yeah.
tracks each. That was a future yeah. point for Kanye 3 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still disappointed about that.
It's the minimum requirement to be Grammy.
I know, but it upset me. It upset me so much. It's like there are only 7 tracks on this album. Anyway.
I think I like an 8-9 track album more than one that's got 16 full of fucking skits, man. These nonsensical skits.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started on skits. We're kind of taking a bit of a segue here into other stuff, but yeah, De La kind of did skits quite well, and then everybody else thought that was a good idea and then ruined them.
I can't think of any album where I thought, yeah, you know, like you think of like Dr. Dre's 2001, which is production wise it is so polished, man, but the skits, what the fuck, it makes you embarrassed to put it on.
Doctor's office, like you, I mean, I'm quite happy to have my windows down and be like, have that album on blasting on. Yeah. Then Doctor's office comes on and it's just like, no, skip, quick.
Yeah,
you know, it's just unnecessary, isn't it?
And
we're talking about that on our episode about female MCs.
Yeah,
so.
For some grades will be great. Isn't it, dude? Bring it back, man. Bring it back. Give me.
Right. Okay. Okay. Who are we going to get? Who do I... Can I chuck in now? I'm going to chuck in someone who was a contemporary mm-hmm. of kind of a, that sort of time and of Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Associated with a male group, but came really hard, and that's Ra Digger.
Yeah, man. She's cool. I used to have the hots for her at Ra Digger. She was my crush that era.
Nice. Her voice,
great voice,
always seemed a little bit kind of off.
Oh, I loved it.
Well, yeah, but do you know what I mean? Like her voice never kind of seemed to sit nicely on the beat.
Yeah.
By the kind of the tone of her voice, but yeah. My God, she was an amazing lyricist, and she delivered hard lyrics.
Yeah, man. I mean, again, yeah, she was the Flip Mode Squad, right? She was dope.
Yeah.
Man. She was cool. I, like I said, had a big, big heart for her in that same era, late 90s. Yeah, could rap. She was on on the score, wasn't she, with the Fugees, that one of my favourite characters, Cowboys. She just came fucking good. She's got such a lazy flow. Yeah, she's part of that whole Lyricist Lounge kind of collection. She did things there. Yeah. I remember seeing her in a couple of like B-grade horror films and that kind of like ruined it.
She was on some MOP tracks as well, I think.
I don't know, she might have been. Would that be, I think that would sit well with the era. But great MC. But again, so her album, was it Dirty Harriet?
Dirty Harriet, yeah, the first album, yeah.
Again, I remember thinking it was alright, but yeah, maybe I need to go back. Do I need to go back and listen to that? Or will my life be okay without it?
I think it's worth just popping it on once. I've not heard it for a couple of years, but whenever she comes up, like when I've got like shuffle on or something, and she comes on, you're like, ah, yeah, now I remember why I used to listen to her and why I liked her, because she is good. She is really good.
Going back to last week's Posse Cuts one, the last podcast, she had a great verse on that Touch It one as well. She just came and killed it, man. She's consistent. Again, I've never heard her drop a shitty verse. She's solid, you know what I mean?
Well, she was on One for Love as well, the Talib Kweli, Mos Def, hip hop respect stuff. She was on that. So, you know, she's. She's someone actually, so I think we mentioned it earlier, but she's someone who has collaborated a lot with a lot of people and stands up on their tracks as well.
Agreed.
So, you know, when you're thinking about female artists, there aren't a huge number who kind of will guest a lot, but she has guested on a huge number of tracks.
Yeah, man, because you know, I think the producers and rappers know from her you're gonna get a solid verse, right? You're gonna get quality there. She might not, you know, she's reliable, and she's not gonna quote unquote steal your thunder either, I think. So she ticks a lot of boxes in that regard.
Safe pair of hands.
Safe pair of hands, yeah.
She's the Phil Neville of.
Oh my!
No, okay, no, that's not fair. No,
you can't talk. You can't talk about one of my teenage crushes as a Phil Neville, dude. Shit, man.
Well, I thought he was your other, teenage crush. Yeah. Okay, the James. No, that's not fair. I was going to say James Milner as well. No, but it's she's a safe pair of hands. You know, you're always going to get quality. Without being upstaged. So like for a munch, you might get upstaged, you probably will, but like someone like Talib Kweli, you know, you're going to get quality, but you're not necessarily going to get upstaged.
You know who will upstage you?
Go on.
Again, she's collaborated a lot with Talib Kweli. Again, I don't find her that easy to get with, but I know what she's doing. I respect what she does, and she
can I guess
blows my mind. Go on.
Are you going to say Bahamadia?
No, actually, I'm not. I'm
no?
Jean Grey. Oh, Jean Grey.
Jean Grey. Yeah. Oh, that was my second guess.
Yeah, Jean Grey, man. I mean, you hear her speak, it's more spoken word, isn't it? She has such a great cadence. Her voice is fantastic. Articulation, enunciation. She's super intelligent. I mean, she's... rap is, spoken word, but she's more of a poet in the more, I guess, poet sense as opposed to rapping over beats. But dude, she can spit, man. She's good. Like, you listen to her, she made an album a couple of years back, you know, entitled For the Life of Me, but she's consistent. I mean, you know, it speaks volumes if someone like Kweli is singing your praises and saying this person's one of the best lyricists out there. That kind of tells you what you need to know. You know, I think Black Thought even shouted her out as well. I mean, if you're getting props from people like that, you're good.
Well, she's invited onto a couple of Roots albums, I think.
Well,
yeah, she is. I would have her in my top five.
I think she has to be. Again, she's been consistent for a long time. Yeah, the last album was Everything's Fine. That was the one. It had a lot of skits, but the skits made sense to the mental health, and it was a concept album. It was good. But I first heard of her on, I think, Kweli's Listen album, 2007.
Okay.
She'd been around before then. But that's where I first took notice of her and went back to, you know, back catalogue and stuff. I think she signed with Kweli's record label around that time. But again, fucking good, man. Consistent and just very intelligent, very dense rhymes.
I think, where did I... I think she appeared on one of the Raucous compilations.
She did.
I think that's where I first came across her.
That 2002 time. Yeah. She did. She's fucking good. You should go back.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard her stuff for a while, go back and listen to it. It's not like what you call easy listening. You have to... it's not... She ain't got the beats there to go with it, right? To make, like, radio hits. but as a lyricist, she's not the salt and pepper. As a lyricist, though, she's up there, man. She's definitely up there as a writer.
Well, you know, and different people need different things, don't they? So, like, you wouldn't go to contemporary's Talib Kweli to be for like a radio pop hit, would you? Whereas you might go to Buster for a radio pop hit or something that's going to kind of sell loads of records or be on the radio a lot. She's that kind of more complex and complicated, you know, subject matter and how she puts things across as well. And I think that's why she did an album with Ninth Wonder, didn't she? I think.
Yeah, Genius. Something like that.
Genius, that's it, yeah. Yeah, I bet that took a lot of thinking with the title. But, you know.
Listen to that album. So I listened to an interview there recently and it just reminded me of her. You know, just super intelligent, super dense. She uses loads of vocabulary. She's kind of like up in that, you know, I don't know. Yeah, Talib Kweli level of lyrical wordplay. It's just that she hasn't got the beats or that kind of hit to go with it. So she's consistently been underground, overground-esque. But she's up there. She's up there as a lyricist, male or female, she's up there.
Yeah, yeah. Technically excellent.
Yes, that's the word, yeah, technically. What do you reckon?
Okay.
Who you got?
Sorry?
Who you got? Who are you going to check in the mix?
Okay, right. So, this is a difficult one. I was going to go for Alicia Dixon. No, are we not going for... She did all the Mystique.
Yeah, we'll leave Mystique out of this.
She was like, you know, she's English and it's like, there's this woman with an English accent rapping. No, I'm joking. Alicia, you're fantastically talented, but I'm afraid that you don't quite make the cut this time.
She'll be heartbroken.
Now, who do I pick? So I think you're probably going to have a lot to say about this as well, but I'm going to go for Sarok.
Not Sarok.
Not Sarok.
Mm-hmm.
Sarok.
Mm-hmm.
She's busy. She's been doing lots of stuff, but I think she's been very underground, hasn't she? There's never kind of much of a buzz around her, but she is so talented.
Absolute beast, man. Absolute beast in the mic.
Yeah, we're talking about, you know, technically excellent rappers. She's got to be up there, and I think she hits hard as well.
Dude, she's awesome. Like, boom, bap, rap. I mean, she's awesome. Yeah. She came to my attention through, I think it was Akala posted something about her in 2013-14, and I remember I was living in the Caribbean at the time, and I put it on. I was like, where did this woman come from? And I thought she was gonna blow. There's a track called, I can't remember what it's called now, but The Tower was a track that came out, again talking about suicide and how she came to hip hop, and it's just bars, man. No chorus, just fucking bars, hard bars. And you hear her speak in real life, she's really softly spoken, she's a vegan, she's proper woke, but on the mic she just turned into a fucking beast. But again, she's never blown. You know, I think she's had one official album out there, but she's, you know, Atlanta based, keeps doing her stuff online, just keeps posting away. You can find all that stuff online, and again, consistent, man. She's super woke. She's never gonna headline, though. She's always gonna, you know, I look to see if she ever comes to the UK. She does come around, but she's often supporting someone else, you know? She's never got her headline show. She ain't got the fanfare, as it were, in the UK.
Yeah, she didn't really have... I mean, again, you kind of said it earlier. There isn't the kind of, like, great album out there. You know, the tracks are all fantastic on their own, but it's like... I mean, I don't know. Do you need great albums anymore? I'm not sure.
Yeah, but the answer you gave is an answer of the times, where you can have a singles culture, but an album allows you to articulate. As you know, I'm not a preacher converted here, but I still hold that as a measure of a great artist, because it shows, can you come up with a body of work? Can you tell a story more than 3 minutes long? And I think hip hop has always prized itself on creating albums, you know, especially concept albums. Like, you know, Illmatic, you take a journey, aren't you, to someone's world. You know, if you had New York State of Mind as a single, all right, it's dope, but where do you go from there? We want to go into the elevator, we want to see outside the block, we want to see what's going on.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I guess I suppose it's how you approach it as well. And for someone like Sarok, who is very lyrical and very sort of takes a really close view of the kind of what's around her and tries to kind of report back on that, then it is that body of work that you kind of acquire in one place, you know, bring it all together in one place to tell that story.
Yeah.
But if you're, I don't know, I mean, it's probably fair to say someone like Missy, she can come up with one hit and that's kind of enough, because that's her style, isn't it? It's that big, gonna grab you by your ears, I'm gonna bounce you up and down, I'm gonna kind of...
She's got Timberland beats, man. You know that.
So, okay, Missy without Timberland, I still think she's going to get close, because she's, you know, she's still great.
She's not a great rapper. She's not as good as Missy. Is not as good a rapper as Eve, Rah Digga. Certainly not as good a rapper as Jean Grey. Probably not as good a rapper. Not easily not as good a rapper as Sarok. She's probably as good. She's a better rapper than Salt and Pepper. Maybe singing up there with Heather B, perhaps. But yeah, I mean, she's a package, isn't she? Sarok is just fucking... I'm listening to her stuff, just being blown away. This woman is hard as fuck, man. She just doesn't mess about with her lyrics. They're just awesome. It's proper boom bap, you know, it's my sound. So anyway,
well, you know, if both of our listeners actually do something based on what we're going on about, go and listen to her, because I think you'll enjoy it. You know, it's true though, isn't it? You know, I think if you haven't ever come across her before, definitely someone to go and have a look at. And even if it's just clicking and watching her videos on YouTube, yeah. If she gets a couple of pence like for each one, then
you're not going to stumble across her as other videos you may like when you're watching, you know, Anaconda or something like that, or you're watching Cardi B. It's not going to come up in the others you may like. You will have to actively seek this shit out, but it is out there. She's just dope. Yeah.
Right, go on then. Do we have another one?
Yeah,
how many have we got?
Quite a long list. Do you know, I think I need to get this out of my system now. So, you know, when you mentioned, what's the Mystique lady, Alicia Dixon,
yeah.
This list, I came up with a lot from the UK, you know, which isn't the same case for, you know, say, UK hip hop for the male artists. You think of Rodney P, you think of Jest comes to mind, and if maybe Ocean Wisdom now as a kid, but you know, the rest of you put as grime, right? Dizzy Rascal, Kano are grime artists. But when you look at UK hip hop, a lot of women MCs. So you look at Miss Dynamite, and again, a great album. And she's been, you could say she's more bashment, more kind of reggae dancehall style, but she can certainly rap. And then you look at people like Nole, who's fucking dope. Nole's been rapping for a long time. And Roxanne, a lady called Roxanne, who kind of went a few years ago. And then you've got, who else have you got from the UK?
Estelle?
again, more of a singer than a rapper.
She's a singer, but you know, she had some tracks that she rapped on, didn't she?
Yeah, she's up there. She's certainly talented. And then of the contemporary bunch, who I think a name we have to chuck into this mix, because she does make good albums. And the last album, I think it was called Grey something, Grey Space or Grey Matter, was Lil Sims. Lil Sims is fucking dope, man. Lil Sims' last album is a great album. She's creative. She's got great beats. She uses live instrumentals. She's selling out live shows. Yeah, the last album was called Grey Area, and it's a proper album, which in this day and age, you know, as a British rapper, big up to Lil Sims, because I think she'll be in this conversation of top female women rappers in the future. She's brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, she's I think she's a bit of a shiny light, isn't she, at the moment?
Dude, all the way through to...
Especially for UK hip-hop, not just for kind of female.
No, UK hip-hop. Right. I mean, Andre 3000.
Any hip-hop.
I'm going to say that again. Andre 3000, one of the greatest MCs to have ever walked the planet in any era. He picks her up. And that tells you everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree. And to be fair, I don't listen to a huge amount of more recent music, but I've heard her. She keeps coming up in conversations. I had a listen, and you know that she is incredibly talented, and I would have to put her on my list.
Like instrumentals, man. And again, yeah, people like the Nole, the Roxanne, they didn't have the albums. They had singles. They dropped things here and there, you know. But Lil Sims is making albums, and that last album is up there with one of the best albums of last year. I think Ramesh had it on his top 10 last year as well. Sticking down, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think he did, didn't he? And he kept going on about it. No, good call, I think. I'll tell you who we've not mentioned. We've not mentioned people like Foxy Brown.
Yeah, she's on my list, yeah.
The Brat.
Yeah, she's on my list.
Lil Kim.
She's on my list.
But, you know, we haven't kind of mentioned that kind of hyper-sexualized... it was like late 90s, wasn't it? That kind of bad boy, shiny suit era.
I mean, Foxy had a great, great voice, man. She was part of that, what's it, the Firm with Nas at the Firm. That one. I mean, she had a great fucking voice, man.
She probably needed, like, I don't know, some kind of... I don't know, throat lozenge or something, though.
It sounded dope.
She sounded like a bit nasally, maybe, but no, she could rap. She never kind of got any more than like, that. Like, there's this very kind of low monotone.
Great.
Kind of, it worked for Guru, so, you know, I'm not complaining.
Her content was very one dimensional, wasn't it? It's about her Gucci bags and, you know, gangsters. She was into that whole kind of, you know, the, what's his name, Fat Joe and all them. They were into this kind of like Wu Gambino kind of Italiano mafioso kind of thing. And it kind of wore a bit thin. It's like, you need to rap about something else. It was that kind of monotonous content. But yeah, she could rap.
Yeah. But, like moving on from them, I mean, I'm sure you'll bring them up in a little bit more detail.
We have to talk about Lil Kim.
Okay, let's talk about Lil Kim then.
Lil Kim's important, dude. Whether you like her or don't, whatever, you know, bless her, she don't look great now. She had a lot of work done and stuff, and I don't know what issues she's had with the law and stuff. But Lil Kim, for better or worse, was the pioneer of that. You know, she is basically the prototype of your Nicki Minaj's and Cardi B's, right? She wigs the boobs out. She is the, you know, the hard ass MC. You know, she's, you know, talking about, you know, proudly talking about her deep throating pedigree on doing, you know, posse cuts and stuff. Lil Kim did her thing, man, and, you know, all power to her. She came. I remember I first heard her on the Crush, the song with Junior Mafia. Again, you know, she did her thing, man. She did her thing, and she's made a big influence in hip hop culture. She certainly paved the way. She's not a great MC, in my opinion, but again, neither's Missy. But Lil Kim had her aesthetic, and she certainly blasted a particular course without which you wouldn't have the aforementioned names. The Brat, quick mention on the Brat. She was more of a tomboy. She was more of that kind of. I know.
Yeah, she
was more the braids, and again, just a feature on track. I don't remember her coming up with a great album or anything.
I can't even remember an album. Nah. Is it a Debrat album? Is there?
I don't remember ever seeing one, but anyway.
But I remember her appearing on lots of stuff, you know, of that time. She was kind of in on everything, wasn't she?
Yeah.
For a really short while. I think it was about a year where she was really active.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you. Lil Kim, I think... Although her music isn't something that I particularly enjoyed, I think her impact deserves kind of inclusion, because you don't have... I mean, I would say you probably don't have Foxy Brown. You probably don't have, you know, all of the... Or some of the like kind of big names at the moment. So like Megan Thee Stallion and all those kind of people. If you don't have a Lil Kim, so just for that, I mean, whether or not it's a good thing, we have Azealia Banks or not, I don't know. it's not my taste, but there you go.
You know, but it's the thing about hip hop. I mean, I remember that I sat through WAP, as in Wet Ass Pussy, with Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion the other day. And I listened to it. I remember listening to a Cardi B album last year, the one that won the Grammy. I thought, you know what? Let me stop moaning about this shit. Let me just sit down and listen to it. So I sat down. I remember it was a Saturday last February time. And I listened to it from start to finish. And Marcus, I can't, and again, without the sexual, I wasn't watching any videos, I was listening to the album, so I wasn't like being distracted by anything, the package as it were. So I'm listening to the rap, I'm listening to the music, the beats are party beats, fine, whatever. And I counted one metaphor on the entire album. and I think it was a simile, because simile has like or as, isn't it? So it was a simile which said, something like, her pussy juice being like a lake or a river. And so that was the only simile I caught in the entire album. Right?
I mean, you know, and that's hardly kind of groundbreaking as well, is it?
Yeah, and so this, and this song recently that came out was basically a continuation of the aforementioned theme, Wet Ass Pussy. So what she is, she's very efficient with her content. The joke about that, when you, if anyone comes at, I'm not, listen, who am I to criticize Cardi B? She does her thing. She, as you know, we've made that very clear with Lil' Kim and so on. They do their thing, they make their money, they know what they're doing, they're very clever businesswomen, and all power to them. Like, that's none of my concern what they do and how they do it, of course. But what I will say is, for the industry to give that album a Grammy, to say it's the best rap album commercially out there, was basically, well, you just put your hands up and you think, well, the Grammys are finished, right? I mean, what, they don't, that doesn't count for shit, you know. That award was a sacrament. That was just unbelievable to give that album the best Grammy award for a rap album. Dude, that was just fuck the Grammy.
Because that was 2018?
I think so, yeah.
2018? So, like, I mean, who are the people you... No, 2019. So, I mean, as much as I kind of mess around and criticize you for making me listen to Daytona by Pusha T, that's the same year. And even though that's only seven tracks, that was a great, yeah, it's a good album. Again, Pusha T is not really my cup of tea. but, you know, Kanye is good on it. There's some great tracks. So, yeah, that's the same year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good,
just, like I said, I'm not dicking on, I'm not like, you know, being a party pooper, say, I don't, we know music's not for me, whatever. But if that wins the best Grammy, or, you know, that just tells you everything you need to know about state of affairs, that the Music Awards aren't about rapping, right? I mean, if it was an award for best rap or best rapping, Star Rock's got to be in any conversation, but no one's going to hear about her. She's not flouting herself. She's not talking about how wet her genitalia is.
Her rivers are.
No, so, whatever. Ran over. No, I won't say no more on the Cardi B phenomenon.
So I'm going to suggest that Cardi B doesn't quite make our list.
No, and neither does Trina, by the way. She's of the same
age. Oh, man, I was about to get... Trina, you know, she's the queen of the South, isn't she?
Yeah. See, Nicki Minaj, for me, would make it a rapper.
I knew this was coming up. Yeah. No, go on.
She can fucking rap. I've seen that. I've seen videos of her online as well, rapping in cyphers. That verse on Monster is good enough to, you know, outdo Jay-Z and Kanye. I mean, dude, she can rap. But again, she chose her path. She chose what she wanted to do. She chose how she wanted to make her money. And that's fine. That is totally cool. But what she didn't realize was it made her lose her spot in our top five. So that's where she lost it.
And to be fair, our top five is growing longer and longer, so, you know, it's getting worse for her, if anything. And I think this is probably where we can discuss quite an important point. You know, people like Nicki Minaj, Cardi B, to some extent, have they? I guess it's a question, isn't it? Have they had to take on that persona in order to get recognised and to be allowed into the industry, or is that their kind of style? I mean, I don't know.
No, because you could have Lauren. She got a Lauren back in '97 and stuff, and, you know, it was the mid '90s, '98. Lauren is Lauren. I mean, not everyone's as talented that. So if you're not as talented as a rapper, as a writer, as Lauren, as a once in a generation talent, you have to figure out a way to do your USP, right? So Missy Elliott found hers, Lil Kim found hers. I think
then loads of other people copied hers.
Yeah, because that's in it. Trina, all of them are basically Lil Kim's, and that therein lies the dilemma. Because Nicki Minaj, when you said, do they have to be that to make the industry work for them? Nicki Minaj is a good enough rapper to not have to do that. Cardi B cannot rap. She's got a good voice. The tone of her voice is good, but she cannot put words together in a beyond the primary school kind of level of writing, in my opinion.
But she needs Stickman to do all the writing like Jay-Z.
That's right.
What? No, sorry, did I say that? No.
But Nicki Minaj can rap. She can rap. Yeah. She could rap, you know, she could rap in a burqa. It makes no difference. She can rap.
Yeah, and it's a shame, isn't it? has she made that decision because it allows her to cross over and has access to
money?
To money? Is it that kind of young female audience that she's kind of after, and this is the way to do it? And if it is, is that a shame? I don't know.
Again, who would speak on that? I mean, it's just she's chosen what she's chosen. That's so be it. I mean, but she can, right? I mean, if it comes to her and the other Cardi B's of this world and so on, there's no competition. Nicki Minaj is a better rapper, no doubt about it.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I came across not that long ago, and found them very interesting.
Go on.
And that's Doja Cat.
Yeah, she's new, isn't she? Yeah, my girlfriend's coming to listen to her. Yeah,
interesting. I don't. I've yet to decide how I feel about her.
I don't know.
Because she, I think that's my problem. Like at a kind of sort of surface level, you think, oh, it's another Cardi B. But I think she's actually quite talented, and I think there's some stuff under there as well that's kind of I will listen to more of her to kind of unpick a little bit, but I think she's interesting. She's too recent to kind of make it into this list, as harsh as that sounds, but yeah, I think she's quite interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard the name, heard a couple of tracks. I know there's a race kind of debate. She said some controversial things, but I guess everything's controversial. It's a very particular culture right now. So you have to be very careful with what you say online, I guess. And I know she came in for some flack, but again, I can't speak on her. I don't know enough about her.
Well, fair enough. But you know, you just kind of come across people.
Cool name.
It's quite a cool name. But yeah, obviously she won't make it onto the list. Someone that I thought you might mention, but you haven't, is Rhapsody. She might have come up in conversation, but
no. Look, again, I've heard her in passing, I've heard her feature on things, but I haven't heard enough of her or ever heard an album to be able to comment. I've only kind of would you have her on your list?
No. The stuff I've heard, I've been like, as opposed to like, wow. You know, when you kind of hear someone and you just go, right, who are they? What's their name? I need to find out all their music and I need to listen to it all. Never kind of jumped out at me way.
Neither me, dude. I mean, the one person that description would be apt for, that kind of wow, is RIP, right? Lisa Left Eye Lopez.
I was just going to talk about her.
Good man.
She would be close to my list if she hadn't have obviously passed away.
She makes it
so early
because she's just badass, man.
And TLC were such an important group. Even like, they're not kind of hip hop, are they? They were kind of that more R&B poppy kind of sound. But
she was not a token rapper, she was a proper rapper.
Well, I think her and the rest of TLC helped make Atlanta the kind of the stronghold it is for hip hop, because were they the first group on Baby Grand?
I don't know, dude.
I'm sure they were either one of the first acts or a huge act at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of opened up doors for, Outkast. And but I'm if I'm wrong, I'm going to be so annoyed with myself. But I'm sure they were on Baby Grand to start off with when they, not Baby Grand. Do I mean that? Do I even know what I'm talking about? I don't think I do.
It's been a long day. Yeah?
No, it's not Baby Grand. It's La Face, isn't it? Because it's when they came, because the two guys came down to Atlanta and picked up local artists, they picked up Outkast and they picked up TLC, and they made it. TLC made it huge, didn't they?
Massive.
What's the first album? Crazy, Sexy, Cool.
I think so. I had that. Yeah, man, that was huge. They got a lot of money thrown.
Everybody had that.
The most expensive music video in the world at one point, didn't they? The Chasing Waterfalls video, I believe.
Yeah. Was it that one? But yeah, and I can remember there being a story about the like horrendously expensive video.
I remember that.
Yeah, I mean they were all talented, and I think Left Eye needs to go in the list somewhere, doesn't she? Because she was a proper rapper.
She was a proper rapper. She rapped. You know, she had, I think, was it one album? Paramore's Corner. She had one album, but again, it was just her features that she stole it. I mean, she killed it. She could rap. She had something to say. You know, it was lyrically dense. She had a unique style. I think she was part of Central American or something. I mean, when I was in Central America once, and people were talking. I think it has some Belizean in her or something. So people were claiming her as one of their own in Belize. So that makes her a bit more unique. She's not like, you know, say out and out America. I think she's born in the States, but she has Central American roots. Along with Shine from Belize. So she's cool. So she adds a bit of variety to that mix as well, doesn't she?
Yeah, and I think I'd have her in my list. Yeah, if only just for, you know what's up, and and all the TLC stuff.
Killed it.
Yeah, great talent again. Really sad. We need to do. At some point, we'll do an episode on kind of lost people who have been lost that we need to kind of celebrate. And I think she's on that list as well.
People who have been lost, common.
not their careers. I was thinking more about people who had died, and I don't mean on stage. Yeah, that's not good. Yeah, great starts to their music career. That kind of. I mean, common's still great. Anyway, we're not talking about common. We're talking about. Women. So, yeah, female MCs. I'm going to mention Queen Latifah as my kind of last one. I mean, of all kind of that era. So you've got Queen Latifah, MC Light, Roxanne Shanti, Moni Love, that kind of era. Mm. I think Queen Latifah stands head and shoulders above. I mean, literally, she's a very tall lady. But All Hail the Queen.
Yeah.
Is an important album. Ladies First with Moni Love, a great track. Unity, a great track.
Important,
I think.
Important.
Yeah. And it's that kind of Afrocentric, diverse voice that I think at the time was really important in that kind of late 80s when you've got sort of opened the door a little bit for almost like De La Soul and Jungle Brothers and some of those others as well.
Yeah, man. Definitely. There's no doubt in her importance. Again, it's not the kind of, she's not really an artist I'd put on, like listen jam to, but a bit like in a very different way to a Lil' Kim, but it certainly marked out her kind of niche, her area, her legacy within hip hop, regardless of male, female. She's made a name for herself. They're doing her thing, and she had a style. I mean, Queen Latifah had the whole dress, the whole look, the Afrocentricity and everything. We got Queen Latifah,
and she's made it as a successful actress as well, hasn't she? Since
yeah, and she was in a very bad film with Common, but Common does a lot of bad films, so yeah.
You're gonna have to narrow it down. she's been in some bad films. Yeah. She was in Barbershop 2.
Barbershop 18.
Yeah. She was in Hairspray, although that was mildly entertaining. The remake of Taxi, the American version of Taxi. She was in that. And yeah.
I mean, yeah, she's doing the 90s brigade of hip hop stars becoming actors, right? The LL Cool J's in the house and all that stuff.
Yeah,
fair play. Can I shout out someone who's not going to make the list by any means? But I need to quickly mention Lady Leisha amongst the UK rappers because she's fucking dope and she's from Birmingham. So, and I can't stand the Brummie accent. So the fact that she raps in a Brummie accent and I still love it speaks volumes of her quality, in my opinion. One person I want to give a shout out to who's never going to make the list. I don't think they ever had an album. I don't think they ever even made a song. But they featured on Loads of Other People's songs, and she has a great voice. Can you think of it? It's late 90s. She has an amazing voice. She was part of a group. I can't remember what they're called. Very distinct voice, dude. Remember Jay-Z's Can I Get Her with Ja Rule?
No.
Amil. A-M-I-L. She's got a verse.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Can I Get Her? What? And she's got a very particular kind of voice. She was signed to Rockefeller. That was her kind of claim to fame, the verse on Can I Get Her? What? But yeah. But no, I don't think she ever had a song of her own, to be honest. But yeah, great voice.
There's quite a few people who kind of have guested on stuff who never really kind of made it on their own, if you know what I mean. So I'm thinking like Lady of Rage appeared on Dre's album,
yeah,
and was
And was good.
And was good.
You know, like
that's the chronic, yeah. Right, the first one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she, you know, she was good, and definitely she more was, than held her, yeah, held her own. But then never heard anything since. Or if we have, I've never found it.
It was a track with that. What was that? Dope drum beat on the. That was the track. It was just an incredible beat. Look, listening back to those Dre albums, talk about longevity. I don't want to sidetrack too much, dude. Those albums. That first album still is almost 30 years old, and it fucking sounds amazing. Seriously.
Yeah.
It's scary the talent that guy has.
It's 28 years old, and it is just. I think it's some of them you could just put on, and just even if the people haven't heard it before, it's just going to capture them, isn't it?
Dude,
she was on
stuff. I mean, it speaks. Rodney King shit was kicking off. You think of the BLM movement happening this year. You think, Jesus Christ, this album sounds prettier now. Yeah. And she was amazing. Yeah, track. Yeah, bring it back to her. She was amazing. Yeah.
What was that? That was Lyrical Gangbang?
Lyrical Gangbang. She was awesome on that track.
You had Corrupt on that as well, I think.
He has signed a deal with the devil. That dude has looked the same for 30 years. I swear, I don't know what the fucking story is. Him and Keith Murray in a room somewhere signed a pact.
I mean, how many pictures did they have in their attic?
That's what I mean. Seriously, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, it was that. So you had Corrupt on that one. You had RBX.
RBX, another long lost. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he did anything afterwards, did he? But he appeared on loads of tracks on that album.
Great.
On Dre's Chronic. Yeah. She was on Stranded on Death Row. Is that the one you're talking about with the great
opening? I think it was just, I was just, the beat in my head is Lyrical Gangbang.
Yeah, but she appeared a few times and she's good, but I mean I don't know has she done any other albums or anything? She must have. She must have had some albums out. But again, I just but
so that's
such a shame.
That's all I've got now, dude. To be honest, that's our list of 20, I think.
I mean the only person I'd potentially add, but you feel free to veto me, is Princess Superstar.
I don't think I heard of her.
Yeah, you have. She did a really, really corny track about Bad Babysitter with. She's not really a rapper. I only put her as a joke, and that's kind of backfired.
I haven't heard of her, dude.
It was with High Mighty.
Alright, you lost me here, dude.
In 2002, it came out, and it was pretty rubbish.
Right.
If I'm honest. Yeah, Mr. Eon from High and Mighty.
Right.
But yeah, it was like a big pop hit, and it was really, really, really cheesy. I'm gonna delete this whole bit about her. Yeah, no, I think we've kind of covered most of the kind of the big names. People are probably like, oh, what about a Parney B Fly, and what about like MIA, or you know, people like that.
I was thinking of MIA. You know, again, the UK, big up to all these UK rappers, but MIA, and again, we'll talk about albums. That second album, Carla. Her first album was It Galan. She's politically important, she's good, but she's a fucking terrible rapper. She's an awful rapper. Yeah. She's just screaming, like, she just sounds like my mum with a few drinks in her. She doesn't sound great, but she's about the aesthetic, about the sound, the politics, you know, she's not about her lyricism or her singing, because both of them are horrendous. She sounds like a person in a karaoke bar late at night, not a good one. But it's not about that, is it? I mean, she's not about the rapping. So that's why she didn't make my list. Yeah.
No. And I mean, apart from Lauren and probably Missy, I wouldn't want to order the rest of them anyway, because I don't think it's fair.
No, these are just honourable mentions, aren't they? I mean, I think he would be in a top five. I think Jean Grey would be in a top five. And the rest, I think, is up for grabs, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, no, you know, no Remy Ma. She appeared in one of the old posse cuts.
She did. I didn't think it was and there's a... Who's the other one that's doing a similar kind of thing nowadays? Oh, I cannot for the life of me remember. She does a lot of grimy stuff. But yeah, I mean, again, Remy Ma, it's still a rapper. I wouldn't say she's going to make... She doesn't have anything... I mean, is she doing anything that the Brat couldn't have done? Is she bringing anything new to the table? Yeah. I don't know, to be honest, but...
No. Well, I think we've kind of covered a lot of incredibly talented women. Yep, you know,
definitely
incredibly talented female MCs. There's probably plenty more that we've missed out, and there's completely unfairly lots that we've never been able to hear because of whatever reasons.
Star Rocks, have there been before the internet, or you know, that we can't find on the internet because the algorithms won't allow us to find them.
Exactly. And you know, if you think about some of her tracks, they're still not, you know, you're not talking like millions of views either. You're talking about the tens of thousands of views, which seems completely wrong.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So our top female MC is Lauryn Hill. I think that's a fair way to kind of end it, isn't it?
That was a pretty easy job, wasn't it, that one? That's just, yeah, that was nice stuff. Enjoyed that. Yeah, talk about
it. I mean, we covered it in the first, you know, 5 minutes, it's nice that we've managed to stretch it out for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Hey, I think we talked about fancying Eve and fancying Radiga. I think that gives us some props from the equality. I don't know. Does it?
Dude, you got a long day at the desk, dude. You need to get away from your fucking desk, dude. You got a long day.